You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Hey, everyone. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Anthony Katchmith, and this is our weekly look at the Minnesota Twins. I'm joined, as I am each week, by Rhett Bollinger. And Rhett, the Twins, it's definitely under the category of too little too late as it pertains to the race, but it's certainly good for the soul that this club is 21-13 since the beginning of July. That's the second-best record in the majors during that span. They also lead the majors with 199 runs scored in that span. So this is kind of the club they expected to be going into the season. They expected to have a strong offense especially, and it took a long time to get to this point, but here they are.
Yeah, exactly. Like you said, it's kind of too little too late. This team started off 10-33, which is too big of a hole to climb out of, but they have been playing a lot better baseball really over the last 2 months or so. A little bit above 500, as you said, obviously, since July 1st. Second-best record in the majors, tied for the most wins. A nice stretch there, and the offense has really been getting going. It kind of seems like when Brian Dozier started to kind of click offensively with his power and everything, was kind of when the team kind of started to turn a little bit. We've seen some younger guys contribute. You know, even guys like Eddie Rosario coming back up, you know, swung back pretty well. Kenny Vargas in limited time. Jorge Polanco in limited time. Miguel Sano starting to kind of at least have a bounce back after a little bit of a talking to, it seemed like last Friday. Had a nice weekend there in Tampa. And Joe Mauer's been doing, you know, really well. Obviously, him and Kepler being the AL co-players of the week. Kepler's been a big part of this offensive turnaround. I think the big thing is the offense. The pitching's been a little bit more consistent. Still have had some, you know, troubles there in the rotation a little bit. Guys like Duffy have struggled, obviously, the long one to the bullpen. Gibson's kind of been up and down. But at least the offense has given them a chance. And they're starting to play a lot better baseball. And like you said, it really is kind of the team we thought we'd see. You know, we kind of to be a team that'd be, you know, at least close to 500 and maybe compete for a wild card spot like last year. And sure enough, with that 10-33 start and 0-9 start, they were pretty much buried before it was even, you know, kind of starting there. So at least now that they're kind of showing signs, which is a good thing because maybe they can build on a strong second half going into next year. Maybe they really do believe they can compete in 2017.
Well, you mentioned Kepler, and boy, if you would have said going into the season that a Twins outfielder would be in the hunt for the Rookie of the Year award, you'd, you know, assume we'd be firing Buxton. Buxton, of course, was sent down again the other day, and we'll talk about him in a second, but Kepler with the 870 OPS, 15 homers, 13 doubles, he's got a legitimate case for that award, right?
Yeah, he really does, and it's pretty amazing, like you said, just kind of think about even just 2 years ago. I mean, all the hype we always heard about Sano and Buxton, you know, Kepler was always kind of that third wheel kind of in the back, and it was more projection than actual, you know, results. Sure enough, last year he had a breakout year at Double A with the Southern League MVP, and, you know, got a small case of the majors in September call, but I think he only played in one game. But this year, he's really kind of at that breakout year they're hoping for, but I think even he's been doing better than they expected in terms of the power. They always say that, you know, he really backspins the ball. It's kind of the term they use. But he seems to hit really hard line drives, and sure enough, they just seem to carry out of the park. Obviously, he had a huge series there against the Indians and, you know, a 3-home-run game, which was, you know, pretty impressive, especially for a rookie. I think it's only the fifth time in Twins history to have 3 home runs in a game. He's definitely up in that mix. You got to figure that Tyler Naquin with the Indians, obviously, is in that mix, and maybe even Kim with the Orioles, and Fulmer with the Tigers is having a great rookie year. I think he's going to be ninth in the ERA right now. So it's going to be an interesting race, but no one's really kind of separating themselves. There's definitely 2 months left. If Kepler keeps it going and finishes, you know, with all these home runs and doubles with the kind of speed he has, he certainly has a really strong case.
And, of course, Buxton sent back down and still no tangible improvements at the plate at the big league level. How worrisome is this, Rhett?
At this point, it's starting to become a little more worrisome. And the thing is, at the same time, though, he's only 22 years old. So we've seen guys, we've seen Jackie Bradley Jr., we've seen guys do this before plenty and have a slow start to their career before they get it going. But for him to be a number one overall prospect for 2 years straight and then kind of go through this is definitely, pretty rare and definitely worrisome just because more than anything, it's just a contact problem. You know, he's not making contact enough, even on balls in the zone. He's striking out way too much. And with his speed, you know, if he can put the ball in play, he could be, you know, definitely an above-average player, even if he doesn't hit for that much power or that much average. You know, he could hit 260 and still be a really valuable player just because of his speed on defense and his speed on the bases. So for them, I think it's just a matter of either fixing that swing. I don't know if it's the mechanics of the swing that's the issue or if it's just, you know, a little bit of pressure, you know, mentally just because there's been so much, you know, pressure for him to perform now over the last couple of years, if that's been an issue. But I think about AAA, they're trying to let him, you know, hit the reset button, maybe work on that swing down there with Chad Allen, the hitting coach down there who he works with a lot and has a good relationship with and really helped him even at Double A. Maybe he can kind of get that going, because it's definitely worrisome, because he was the number one overall prospect. They kind of figured he'd at least kind of figured it out by now. It was clear that he got rushed to the majors last year. But I thought maybe this, kind of final stint, recently, that he maybe started to get it going, and it really hasn't happened.
And where are we with Sano? You mentioned showed improvement over the weekend in Tampa Bay. Also had probably the most impressive pop-out in Major League history when he hit that ball off the Tropicana Field roof. First player to do that. But, of course, there was a lot of talk of a potential demotion of Sano last week. So that was all kind of surrounding him, and seems to be responding to it so far.
Yeah, it kind of all started with hitting coach Tom Bernanski telling 1500 ESPN over the air that Sano kind of needed to match his, work ethic with his, skills that he has, because he's obviously incredibly talented, all-star caliber type hitter. But I think there was a little bit of question that maybe just kind of, not that he's lazy or anything, but, he missed, an early batting practice, wasn't quite maybe giving it his all for the kind of talent that he had. And I think the Twins wanted him to kind of focus on being great instead of merely just, very good in a sense. And kind of wanted to push his buttons, it sounded like, kind of going through the media. Mulder didn't disagree with, Bernanski's assertion and kind of, said that he felt like Sano could, be a little better in that sense. And I think, too, defensively, he's had his, I think, 12 errors in 28 games at third base. On the bases, he's made a lot of, running mistakes. Some of it's just being aggressive. But he had to be smarter. Even yesterday, he doubles, shows a lot of hustle getting the second. And then, sure enough, the very next play, is a grounder to shortstop. And somehow, Sano stands there and gets tagged out by Correa instead of getting back to the bag. And it was a great play by Correa. He's a great shortstop. But it was another one of those boneheaded plays where you're like, that's kind of like a, a little league thing. Don't try to advance on a ground ball to short when you're at second base. So little things like that, I think he kind of needs to pay attention to things a little bit more and focus. But the skills are definitely there. And then, like you said, that series and Tampa really got it going offensively. And that pop fly hit the top of the roof there was pretty incredible. Just like last year, he was in Tampa and he hit that catwalk. Remember that was, I think it was the B-ring or whatever it was. And it wasn't a home run, but it definitely would have been. So that stadium definitely has had some interesting adventures there with Miguel Sano in it.
Well, you could say, and they're hoping he hits the ceiling, and then he hits the ceiling. and I don't know what was more impressive, hitting the ceiling or Evan Longoria tracking it and actually catching that. Pretty interesting play all around. And then it goes down as a pop-out to five, all the same. You mentioned Kenny Vargas earlier, and kind of a guy back from the brink a little bit here, Rhett. Kind of falling off the radar back in spring training. One time he was, maybe seen as the next David Ortiz, kind of at least from pure shape alone and power potential, but really it kind of fallen out of their plans. But lo and behold, he comes back here and 21 games, got a 974 OPS backing up Joe Mauer. It's got nice signs of life there.
Yeah, absolutely. The big thing, too, truthfully, is just the walk rate. I think that was kind of the thing. Was in the minors, he had for power, but he also drew a lot of walks and kind of had that profile of being a power hitter he could also get on base. When he came up here, even during a successful rookie year, showed power and, extra base skill and all that, but didn't really draw that many walks. He struck out a lot. And then, last year, he really struggled to try and, get on base and didn't draw very many walks. So you could see that his, kind of plate discipline and strike zone control needed a lot of work. And sure enough, I think going back to the minors, he really figured that out, because that's the big thing that's been different this time around, is that he's also drawing walks. He's hitting for that power and all that he's always had, but he's also drawing walks and not striking out as much, which is definitely a good sign. And certainly a small sample size, you don't want to get too excited, but definitely a good sign from a guy that they had high hopes for. Like I said, a couple of years ago, he had a great rookie season, good big second half. They thought, okay, he could be kind of a big power hitter of the future, but clearly decided to kind of move on a little bit in terms of this offseason, signing Diego Park instead to kind of be their DH, and now Park's at AAA. So they got to kind of figure out going forward whether it's going to be Rob Antonio or the new GM, and kind of see, how this roster is going to shake out, because they have so many guys that are corner infield type players. And obviously at third base, they've got Plouffe and obviously Sano and even Polanco to a certain degree. And then at first, you've got Mauer and you've got Vargas and you've got Park. There's just too many guys right now at this point, too many, similar positions, where I think at this point, this offseason, they got to kind of figure out who they want to go with in those situations. And maybe they decide they've already have money invested in Park, and maybe they try to, sell Vargas high and try to trade him this offseason to a team looking for a power bat. So you never know, but definitely no matter what, it's a good sign for the Twins that he's starting to kind of show that offensive potential again.
Yeah, one of many big questions they'll be facing the Twins this winter. I want to thank Rhett Bollinger for joining us to talk about all that, and we'll continue to check with him each week for the rest of the 2016 season. Thank you all for tuning in. This has been MLB.com Extras, Minnesota Twins edition.
MLB.TV Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.TV Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go, every night on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.TV for details.